Okay. So there's no beginners class today? So all the beginners are in here, is it? No? Well, it doesn't matter. Meditation anyways. Alright. Alright, so my name is Ajahn Santuti, and I've been assigned to teach this weekend, and today it's just a little short class on meditation and how we meditate, and the most important thing is to be able to sit together for about 45 minutes in quiet, so we can just, you know, develop a little bit of peace and stillness within our minds. And meditation, I always say, it gives us the opportunity to just take a break from our everyday activities. Just this opportunity to be able to just sit down quietly with no distractions or very little distractions at all. And just allowing the mind and the body to relax. And in a sense, you know, when you can allow your body to relax, this activity of just sitting down quietly, and the mind, sort of like in time, it follows suit. And as people who start off meditating, at the beginning it can be quite difficult, because the mind is, you call it the monkey mind, the mind that jumps all over the place, the mind which is restless, the mind which thinks too much, and you have all these types of hindrances that arise in the mind. And one of them is like the mind that thinks too much. Yeah, we all know all about that. Just sitting down and trying to become peaceful, but the mind just keeps on thinking. It doesn't stop. So what do we do about it? We do nothing. Yeah, we just sit and we just watch. And in a sense, try to develop the attitude of just being calm with whatever's happening in our minds. And another problem that meditators may come across is the obstacle of sleepiness. Yeah? You may close your eyes in maybe 10 minutes, and then within 2 minutes you fall asleep. There's always one or two meditators in the room that start to snore. But that's normal, and that's understandable, because we have a human body and a human mind. And if we didn't have this body and mind, then we wouldn't get tired. And if we had full control of our minds, then we can just tell it what to do. We can tell our minds to be quiet, and it will be quiet. But in the Buddha's teachings, you hear this over and over again, that life is beyond our control. And you can see that. The weather, we want it to be nice and warm. But what is it like today? It's wet, it's cold. And how about all the injustices that happens in the world? People being mistreated, violence, the unfairness that happens. And as human beings, we want to right that. We want to make it a world which is fair, which is, you know, in a sense, perfect. But we can't, because the world is out of our control. And in the same way, our minds is like that. And I think if you've meditated before, you can see that when you sit down. And the goal when you sit down and meditate is to have a peaceful mind, is to be calm. And you tell yourself, okay, I'm going to sit down for the next 45 minutes and I want my mind to be calm. You give that instruction. I want my mind to be able to watch the breath. And if you really did have full control over your environment, over your mind, then your mind would become quiet and would become still. But the truth is, the mind really is, in a sense, out of our control. So this path of like meditation is to be able to work with this mind which seems to be out of control and use like skillful means to calm it down. And one way of doing that is to just sit down quietly and meditate. Close your eyes and just allow this process to happen. In a sense, you know, it's like a natural process, an organic process. And to sort of like illustrate it, it's something which grows over time. And this morning I was just walking outside and I had walking by the community hall, and I have this really like fully mature grown Bodhi tree, and it's beautiful. And the Bodhi tree symbolizes the enlightenment of the Buddha, because in the text it was said that the Buddha sat under this tree and became enlightened. So this tree has a very meaningful part in Buddhism. So wherever you go, to any monastery, any temple in the world, you'll see one or two things. You see a Buddha statue and you'll see a Bodhi tree. But this Bodhi tree, if you look at it, it's fully mature and it's beautiful. But it didn't become beautiful overnight. That Bodhi tree would have been planted many, many years ago when they started this Buddhist society. I don't know how long this Buddhist society has been here. Does anybody know? 20 years? 30 years? 25 years. So 25 years from a small sapling into something very big, wonderful and beautiful. And in a sense, you know, the more mature it grows, the more beautiful it becomes. And in the same way, our minds, in a sense, when it comes to the meditation practice, there is like, you know, our minds are like little saplings, and we're trying to grow something beautiful from it. And the way to do it is to, you know, give it time and give it patience and give it the right conditions. It's sort of like if you look at the Bodhi tree, which is planted outside the community hall. You know, what does this place represent? It represents the Buddhist teachings, kindness, generosity, letting go, the training of the mind, the Eightfold Path. So this Bodhi tree has been surrounded by good causes and conditions for it to grow in a certain way. And in the same way, with our own minds, we have to add in the right causes and conditions for the mind to become peaceful. And there's so many of these causes and conditions that you can add to help along with this path. And one of them that I said before was patience. And having like the Buddha called it like patience, endurance. And you can look at it in many different ways. A way of looking at it is you can like from this like gung-ho military mind state where you just sit through pain and sit for 3 hours and sit all night. That's the type of patient endurance that sometimes is taught in Buddhist circles, but is not taught here. Ajahn Brahm would say, no pain, gain. No pain, gain. So it's sort of like a soft, gentle path in the world. People say, no pain, no gain. But we're not doing this here. We're not going to endure many, many hours of practice, many, many hours of sitting through pain and suffering. But the endurance part of the practice, or the patience part of the practice, is always coming back to your meditation cushion. Giving time for the mind to mature, giving time for the mind to basically settle down, because just sitting down quietly, we are putting in that cause and condition for the mind to settle down. Because what's happening when you're sitting down? You're actually blocking out the whole world. You're not being distracted anymore. There's no music to listen to, no news to hear and think about, nothing to read, nothing to look at, and your body, you're not exercising it, you're not feeding it, you're not taking it to the bathroom. So in a sense, you've let go of a lot. You let go of the world of the five senses, and that is a cause for the mind to settle down. And then once you sit down and you've gotten rid of a lot of the distractions of the mind, the next thing that you have left is what's happening in your mind. And in your mind, there could be many things happening. There could be distracting thoughts about the past, or making plans for the future, or you're just feeling sleepy, or there's a bit of craving or a bit of anger. And at the beginning, when you start practicing, these obstacles that have a certain strength to them. Like, you know, when you look at your phone, you have mobile reception, and you have so many bars. And when you begin to meditate, the amount of bars that you have is sort of like full bars. You have really strong mobile reception. And in a sense, when it comes to the mind, when you have these distracting thoughts, they're very strong. They're very strong, and in a sense, they overcome the mind. And you can't really do anything when that happens in your mind. So what do? You just sit down and have an attitude of calm towards whatever's happening. But once those mobile phone bars start to die down and become weaker, you start to have more, you get more control over your mind. You get to direct your mind in certain directions, and you can even ask your mind to become a little bit more peaceful, or start to be more mindful, focus on the stillness. And because those distracting thoughts are weak, the mind doesn't have that problem of being more mindful, being more still, and being more peaceful. So we have that's one thing that we have to understand. Sometimes these obstacles in our minds are too strong to do anything about them. So we don't do anything about them. We just be calm and just watch. But once those hindrances, those obstacles, becomes weaker, then that's the opportunity to tell our minds to be more in the present moment, to tell our minds to watch the breath, or whatever meditation object that we want to focus our minds on, whether it's loving kindness, letting go, or contemplating the Dhamma. But that's a little bit about how we meditate and what happens when we meditate and the process that happens. But at the end of the day, it's sort of like putting time in and learning from your own experience. learning what peace is, what peace feels like within your own mind, and then replicating that and going back. It's sort of like your mind has all these places in it. You have a place where you go to if you want to, you know, feel angry. You have a place where it goes to where you want to, like, analyze and think about things. You have a place where it goes to where it starts to worry and there's anxiety. There's all these different places in our minds that we go to. And over the years, since the child up until now, we've always been going back to those places. But as a meditator, we find out this other place within our own minds, and that place is a place of peace. So over time, when you practice, you should be able to find where that place is. And then a skilled meditator can always go back there. They can have a busy day, they sit down, and they know where that peace is. So they go back there. So that's what we're working towards as meditators. Yeah? Okay. So now we'll just sit, and I'll just guide you for maybe 10 minutes, and then we just sit quietly together. So now you're just accustoming yourself to this meditation hall, getting used to the sounds, the smells, and the physical feelings. So you just get as comfortable as possible. Get your body in a position where you can let it go and let your body doesn't distract you with any pains, any itches. The temperature in this room is just right. It's not too cold or too hot. So now we can just forget about the body and instead just be with this moment. So when we're meditating, we're just keeping calm with whatever is going on. That famous saying, keep calm, dot, dot, dot. Keep calm, dot, dot, dot. So whatever is happening in your mind, whether you're sleepy, whether the mind is going all over the place, or whether you've discovered another hindrance, whatever it may be, just keep calm and carry on. So when you're meditating, there's nothing to strive for, there's no need to push for anything, crave for anything. It's all about being able to just allow things to happen, to let go of, just to let go, really, to keep calm and allow the process of meditation to develop. It's all it is, very simple. So now I'm just going to keep quiet and we can continue on with the meditation. Okay. Does anybody have any questions, comments? No? Okay. How can you meditate without feeling distractions or suffering? So meditation is, you know, as a meditator, you meditate it every day. And sometimes we meditate half an hour, maybe a little bit more. And when this person is asking a question, how can we meditate without feeling distracted or suffering? These are basically the five hindrances that may arise in the mind. And sometimes they arise in the mind and they remain for the meditation. But that's just only one meditation. And that's the meditation, say, you do for today. But you never know what's going to happen in your next meditation or the meditation after that. So yeah, you may be distracted in this one, but in the next meditation that you have, it could be, you know, peaceful, it could be calm. So what do you do? So as I was saying before, it's all about putting in the right causes into the meditation practice. The attitude of, you know, being calm, making peace, being gentle. Those are the causes that lead to a more peaceful and stillful mind. Okay. What if you find yourself avoiding meditation because such negative feelings come and you get scared? I find I give up quickly or make excuses not to meditate from fear of the feelings taking over. This is from Thailand. That's what I always say to a lot of people, is when we start having a lot of negativity that comes up in our meditation, we start to develop that bad relationship. It's sort of like when you're going on a date with somebody. At the beginning, it could be all nice and full of happiness and things like that. But then when the relationship turns bad, what do? You split up and you go your separate ways. And sort of like in the same way when you're meditating and that negativity starts to come up, then you become scared of meditation. And you don't want to do that ever again. And over the years, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people who meditate, but they tell me they can't meditate. But they keep on meditating. And I think one of the reasons why they keep on meditating is because they know their limitations. They know how much they can do. They know how far they can push their minds. And they push their minds to a certain point. And then they pull back, they take a break, and then they meditate again. Because some people, when they meditate, they push their minds too far, creating too much negativity, too much of a bad relationship with the meditation. And that's why they stop meditating, and they never meditate again. So in a way, everybody has their own... You could say the Buddha would talk about the middle way, a balance of how much meditation and how much not to meditate. And each and every one of us, we have to find that out for ourselves. So, like I said, with the negativity, you just got to be careful, because that could stop you from ever meditating again. How to stop naming things. How to stop naming things. It's sort of, because this is sometimes when you hear about different traditions, they like to label whatever's happening in the mind. like this is a thought, and they label thought, 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 or this is a pain in my leg, and they label pain, pain, pain. And I think this comes from I think the Burmese tradition and maybe Goenka as well, giving things names and labels, so that we have some sort of understanding of what's going on. And that's one way of meditation that's been taught. But the way the meditation that's been taught here is to just be a person who can just sit back, relax, and just watch whatever's going on without adding any commentary to whatever's happening in the moment. Say, you know, your mind could be thinking, but you allow it to think without adding any more thinking on top of it. So that's how you stop naming things. Okay. Any more? No questions? Comments? Okay, we can finish.